nation. This episode of Mike Curse Be Unafraid. President Trump's plan to ban transgenders from the military. Will it work? What's going on? What's the mechanics of that? The Democrats are snapping back and showing that they haven't learned anything. Now saying that Pete Hegseth is not qualified. You'll never believe why. Additionally, as World War III is set to start, President Trump is coming in and negotiating peace before he gets into office. We're going to break that down as well. I want to welcome everybody to this very special Monday edition of the show today. It is Thanksgiving week, and I need you to help us get this party started by rumbling this video. You guys know how to do that. That is a thumbs up on the browser. That is a thumbs up on the mobile app. You click it, you hit it, you tap it, you share this, and you get us to the top of the Rumble leaderboards because it is the only place that we belong. So, I got a big program for you today. I'm ready. Producer Frankie's ready. You better be too, and let's go. Everybody, Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is Monday, it's November 25th, and I'm joined in studio by the one and only. He's the most bass producer in the game, and it's Thanksgiving week. Frankie, let's start off. What are you thankful for on Thanksgiving week? And there's only two possible answers here. What's one of the two?
I'm thankful for a beautiful Trump victory. That's all I got. Also, I don't love Thanksgiving.
That's one.
There's
That's
not
one.
That much Italian
That's
food
one.
Involved.
Wait.
I'll be honest.
True. That's true.
I'm not a big fan.
But thankful for
pizza. That's not there on Thanksgiving. I'm not a turkey guy. What do you want from
the
me?
The answer is thankful for Trump and thankful for Mike Crispy. Okay, come on, obviously.
Of course.
So, duh. Come on. I mean, come on, Frankie. So, all right, guys. So, we got a big show for you today. Obviously, a lot going on with President Trump rounding out his cabinet over the weekend. He finalized the selections. And you know what's very interesting is that his selections are proving to be very, very popular. I mean, polling has been done, and we've never seen polls at this number. We've never seen Republicans on the America First platform have this type of mainstream support. Even CBS is starting to run polls that say that Trump's approval rating right now is hovering above 60%. That's unprecedented. Think about it. Even when he won in 2016, they were still saying that his approval rating was somewhere in the mid-40s. Now they're saying it's over 60. That means it's actually probably something like 75%. And the fact that all of his cabinet nominees seem to have a very high approval rating as well, that is pretty interesting. But take a look at this CBS report. Roll, Frankie.
Our polling also finds many of the president-elect's well-known designees have more support than opposition, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Pete Hegseth.
It's very interesting that you look at the statistics, is that they have more support than they have detractors. And it's fascinating because over the last, 9 years, anybody who President Trump put out there who we wanted to help, who we wanted to do anything, they would be like, oh, well, Trump likes this person, but they're overwhelmingly unpopular, right? That's what they would say. But it's interesting how no matter how much they've demonized Tulsi Gabbard or Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Pete Hegseth, their approval ratings are very, very high. And Frankie, the timer, we're going to accept about that. Their approval ratings are very, very high. So when you take a look in its totality, you have Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. Okay, you have Pete Hegseth from the DOD. You have RFK Jr. You have Tulsi Gabbard. I would say that most of these picks, the left is meeting with some type of mental breakdown. But in the totality of it, it seems like the public has totally tuned out any type of criticism to any of these cabinet picks. And I got to tell you, Matt Gaetz, again, I wanted Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general, but it's almost like ever since they dismissed Matt Gaetz, ever since Matt Gaetz kind of bowed out of it, it kind of like gave all the other nominees that Trump made like kind of like this like force field. It's like, all right, like listen, like you can't go crazy and be depraved about everybody. Like, you're mad about Matt Gaetz. Like, what, do you be mad about every single pick? Like, no pick is qualified? It's very interesting. Even leftists were applauding some of President Trump's picks. You know, Trump named the Secretary of, was it Labor, the Labor Secretary? And he names this woman who's a Republican or a former congresswoman or a congresswoman or whatever. And the Democrats are even like, oh, this is a good pick because, you know, Trump capitalized and got all the union workers to come out and vote for him. And he picked this lady who, I guess, you know, had had apathy to the unions. And again, I'm a right to work kind of guy. But I do appreciate the working class union workers because that's separated from like the union bosses. So if you get somebody who's like pro union worker as opposed to, you know, union boss, okay, and you say, listen, I'm going to be the party of the working men and women. I'm going to put someone in my cabinet and we're going to reimagine, you know, what it means to be like pro-union. Again, Republicans are usually very anti-union, but I've always said that it's the union bosses that create the problems, not the union rank and file workers, okay? Nickel and diming union workers isn't the way to go. Going after corruption at the top is the way to go. So Trump is kind of like transforming you know, the electorate and the base and who they support and what they support. And that's reflective in these cabinet selections. It's actually very fascinating to watch this. I call this the Trump revolution, okay? The Trump realignment. And then you have things like DOGE, okay? The Department of Government Efficiency. And you have Congress announcing that they are creating a new subcommittee to work with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And again, these are the transformational things that Trump is teasing, promising, in many cases already working on. Here is Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on television talking about it. I believe she has been named to that subcommittee role.
Tell us what you see as the most government waste.
It's all over. Every single government department, program, grant programs, contracts, it is everywhere. And so when we look into a deep dive into this massive problem that's caused America to be $36 trillion in debt, we're going to have to go into all kinds of buckets. And that's how I'll be separating things on the oversight subcommittee on DOGE. We'll be looking at everything from government-funded media programs like NPR that spread nothing but Democrat propaganda. We'll be going into grant programs that fund things like sex apps in Malaysia, toilets in Africa, all kinds of programs that don't help the American people. I want to talk to the people at the Pentagon and ask them why they can't find billions of dollars every single year and why they fail their audit. But not just that.
Yes, I think if the Pentagon doesn't pass an audit, you can disband every single, you know, LGBT. Because again, there's billions of dollars, millions of dollars spent on that. So how about this? We disband every Democrat priority until an audit can be passed in the Pentagon. Is that too much to ask for? And then us paying, again, like Marjorie Taylor Greene is alluding to things like, you know, we built a gas station once in Afghanistan. We built the gas station for like $200 million. And people estimate, you know, developers estimate if you build a gas station in America, it costs something like, I don't know, $10 million, something like that. So it's like, why did we pay 900X for a gas station in Afghanistan? It doesn't make any sense. DOGE will get to the bottom of it. And you know what's crazy? Are depraved leftists who oppose these types of things when it's so obviously good for America. Yes, Frankie.
I'm looking forward to this little NPR sprinkle on top. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all about the Defense Department and all that. But hey, NPR, I would love like Elon and Trump to just go in. I'm sure you've heard of Tiny Desk, Mike, right? I hope they go in and saw that desk in half. You've never watched Tiny Desk on the NPR, like with all the artists go on this small little desk and they like perform. Forget it. R.I.P.
I've never seen that. Okay. I've never seen that. I've never seen the Tiny Desk. And Frank, you do a multi-view when you get a chance. It's a little, we're bearing through. The deep state is trying to give us technical problems today, but well, we're battling through. So NPR, defund NPR, PBS. How about PBS News Hour? Donald Trump is a threat to the democracy. And we'll be right back with more PBS funded by viewers like you. Yeah, very reliable. Yeah, funded by viewers like you. That means involuntary spending of your tax dollars on left-wing propagandist bullshit. But let me tell you something. Joe Biden, he's riding off into the sunset. I don't think anybody's happier than Joe Biden. I think he's actually happier in many cases than President Trump. Because, I mean, President Trump's got a lot of work to do. He won the election. But, you know, the task is so daunting and they're trying to start World War III on him. Biden over here is just skating. Biden is the happiest guy. This guy in his old curmudgeonous, rotted brain, he's like, well, at least Kamala didn't win. Now I can kind of like kind of coast through, embarrass my people a little bit, take a victory lap, but be so senile and brain dead that, you know, I feel good about it, but everyone else is laughing, but I don't even care. That's Joe Biden right now. Joe Biden over the weekend saying that he left the country in a better place. My question to Joe Biden is, hey, Joy Boy, what country are you talking about? Roll it.
One thing I've always believed about public service, and especially the presidency, is the importance of asking ourselves, have we left the country in better shape than we found it? Tonight,
his shoulders have disappeared.
I can say with all my heart, the answer to that question is a resounding yes because of you.
Oh, come on, man. the answer is resoundingly yes because of you. Oh, my goodness. Guys, we had George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, John F. Kennedy, this guy, Donald Trump, this guy, come on. Yes, the answer is a resounding yes, says Joe Biden.
As he blows his
In what regard? Grocery prices 25% more expensive, three simultaneous world wars, alphabet mafia propaganda running through the schools, children now having to worry about, you know, teachers imposing pedophilia on them in the classroom. Oh, the country's in such better shape, thanks to Joey Boy. Oh, a DOJ that just took unprecedented steps to go after private citizens for their political beliefs, something we've never seen before, something mirroring third world countries. He left the country in a better place than he could. That's what Joe Biden's legacy will be, Frankie.
Yeah, don't forget putting, the parents of school kids, you know, on terrorist watch lists because they cared about their kids' education. Can't forget that one. What a joke.
Yes, that is where I, you know what else Joe Biden's legacy will be? I saved the best for last. It'll be this. It'll be the way that he allowed millions of illegals to come in this country to not only water down who we are as a country. People call you that racist. It's not racist. Importing people from 100 different countries who speak 70 different languages, who have no customary akin to the United States of America, nor do they want to have any type of akin or assimilation. That's not good for the country. And you know what else they do? And this is something that my good friend Dr. Soloway pointed out when we were campaigning for Trump in New Jersey, and it's so true, and it's actually starting to rear its ugly head right now, is that you are seeing an increase in disease, the likes of which, I actually saw this, someone was posting this, they said one of the biggest underrated problems that the Trump administration is going to have when Trump takes over, again, it's not Trump's fault, this is what he has been given, and again, they're going to blame Trump for it somehow, but we know how it happened already, is that you're seeing this bubbling up under the surface of all these weird diseases and things that were kind of eradicated out of this country over the last, you know, I don't know, seven decades. Like, you don't have, like, you know, these weird, like, flus and polios. And, you know, it's funny, the political party that claimed that we needed to lock down and stay in bubbles and stay isolated just let people in from 100 different countries who have zero health standards and they carry viruses that we eradicated from this country 70 years ago. But now that we're letting in people at a clip of, you know, 10 million a year, like, well, there's nothing irregular about that. Well, okay, why is there a massive surge in crime, a massive surge in rapes? Oh, and then also a massive surge in illnesses, okay, that are starting to rear their ugly head again that we thought were extinct in this country. Oh, but Mike, you know, I don't care if there are problems in other countries. I don't care if there's strains of viruses that exist in sub-Saharan African countries. I don't care. It's not our problem. We have enough problems. But we know that exists, and they dump it in the country, and then people get sick, and then they're going to say, oh, Trump is, oh, here you go, he couldn't handle COVID, now we can't handle this public health problem. Why does it always seem like America's so unhealthy? RFK Jr. doesn't know what he's doing. No, I'm telling you right now what they're doing. These people hate this country. Trannies in the military, we're going to get to that in the next segment. Viruses and sickness they're putting into the country, exploiting the kids and illegals in this country, robbing our identity. And if you call it racist, they come for you. And maybe the DOJ will investigate you. That's Biden's legacy. Yes, Frankie, sorry.
I love it. And I'm just looking forward to the ICE agents looking like, you know, what do you call it? Star Wars, like, they're going to be literally hazmated out, like, coming in hot, like, all these masks. You know, we watched, like, during COVID, we're like, this is a bit overkill, all these hazmat.
Yes.
They're going to put them all on. It's going to be amazing.
Don't care.
Yeah. Love it. Kick them out.
Don't care.
Put the balloons
on. Put the hazmat suit on. Get your baseball bat, and we're taking the illegals out.
No. Government official.
Or
guns. All right? We don't need baseball bats.
Yeah.
Guns.
Well, we're taking the baseball bats to break up there, to break up the street gangs and break up the squatting that they've done in these apartment buildings. Who, but Mike, how could you say it? And then they're continuing to put out stuff like this. Again, they're doing this. Again, the left is doing this as like a propaganda vehicle. People like me and Frankie look at it and go, well, what's so bad about this? But you're seeing.
Tell them what that. Yeah, they can't read it.
This small. Very fascinating. I'm sorry, Frankie.
No, I just said the text is pretty small. If you want to tell
this them. So what it is that a guide. So illegals, like when they're coming to the country, I always would say, like, who's leading them into the country? Who's leading them on the path? It's not a normal thing, right? Who's leading them on the path into the country? They don't just, like, you know, again, our friend Kevin Smith, we love him, but I mean, it's the coldest take in the planet. They have a map and they follow the road. No, buddy boy. These people have the IQ of, you know, chapstick. Okay? These people can't figure it out. They don't know how to get to the southern point of entry. They have a guide. So this is talking about how a guide died on the way into the country. Ooh, the conditions are becoming so brazen and so dire and so tense on the southern border that you have people dying. It's like the other day they said some illegal died trying to jump over the fence. And then Frankie said, oh, you know, the Democrats are like, we need to have reform. These are human beings. It's like, first of all, you've enabled sex trafficking and rapes and all that stuff and crime in the country. Nobody cared about Lake and Riley, but you care more about these illegals who are dying, hopping the fence that you said didn't work. And now you have illegal guides dying. Okay, people who are guiding the illegals in. People are like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. There should be, you know, a better process. But it's like, hold on a minute. Wait. Who are the illegal guides exactly? Who are the guides? You have guides? Like, who I'd like to, like, why, if a guide, if there are illegal guides and you can identify a person as the guide of illegal alien caravans, why wouldn't that be the first person you arrest and strap in and waterboard and interrogate and find out who the hell is paying them the money?
We're way past that, Mike. We're having schools pay, you know, get charity to pay the coyotes that had already dropped off the kids. Like, they're arrest. What? There's a debt involved and you're paying it through the school system? What are you talking about?
Yeah. This is what we call Biden's legacy. Oh, we haven't even gotten started. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're keeping the show moving tonight. Did I go in?
What is going on?
All right, we're having a little fun. All right, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for watching. I want me to tell you how much that we love you, and so I'm telling you that. Also want to tell you guys that we are very thankful for you in this Thanksgiving season, and we're thankful for our sponsors who are making these broadcasts possible day in and day out all year long. Okay, again, we've been doing this show. This is our 530th episode
Crazy.
Of the show. 530, it's pretty wild. And it's all thanks to you. But it's also thanks to the people who take the leap of faith of us, don't care about getting canceled, keep us on the air, our sponsors, and our first sponsor of the show is Armor Colostrum. Frankie, take it away.
The biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. Skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice. I replaced it all with this Armor Colostrum. It is amazing.
You gotta take it.
If you want to try it, try armor.com.
You want to try it? TryArmor.com/LFATV for 15% off your order. Go get it today. Also, guys, make sure you head on over to the LFA TV store, LFATV.us, LFATV.us. Head on over there right now. Get the latest gear from Jeremy Harrell. Get the latest gear, hats, mugs, T-shirts. I mean, they make
coffee.
Great Christmas gifts. The LFA TV store, the coffee, the Rise Up coffee. Come on, you need it. You got to get it. Go get it right now, LFATV.us. U.S. today. Go get it. Let's go. All right, guys. And also, make sure you're following LFA TV U.S. on X. Make sure you're following Mike Crispy on X and Frankie, producer Frankie on X. How about that?
Let's
How
go.
About that? And I like Frankie's background vibes today. He's kind of got like the golden... the golden sunrise background going on. He went from blue to the golden sunrise.
Honestly,
I like the golden sunrise, Frankie. Golden sunrise isn't.
When I restart, like when I shut everything down in the studio and I turn it back up, this is the automatic setting. I do enjoy the blue. But hey, it's an extra couple steps. I forgot today. I apologize.
Well, I like the blue matches are world renowned, world famous podcast elements. We call them elements, okay? Some call it the intellectual property or the elements, like the thing like that matches that. You know, many people are saying how great our elements are, okay? Some say they're the greatest elements around. All right. Let's get back into the show, Frankie. Let's keep it moving.
We're gonna keep it moving.
We're doing great.
You wanna
we're doing
amazing. Try it?
All
right.
Let's keep it moving.
In. Five.
Wanna try it?
Four, three, two, one.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. Today is Monday. It is November 25th, Thanksgiving week, and I am so thankful for all of you. You know what I'm not thankful for? I'm not thankful for rhinos right now who are continuing to exact their influence in the Congress, both in the House and the Senate. And obviously, you know, we had talked to you guys about, you know, the whole Senate leadership race with Thune. We had talked about that. We had talked about, you know, Thune kind of acquiescing on some things that President Trump wanted, such as recess appointments and the likes. But you're starting to see things that are a little bit concerning. And it goes to show you, again, I always say this, the deep state still runs deep. And I don't like when people say, oh, it's seven-dimensional chess, bro. No, it's not always seven-dimensional chess. There are factors and people that are using leverage, okay, against true America First leaders, okay, to still continue to push and peddle their influences and their things that they want in the government. Any real America First government, okay, that was 100% in line with President Trump, would not be appointing a Susan Collins to be the head of the Appropriations, okay, committee. Susan Collins was named head of appropriations in a very powerful Senate role. It is a powerful role. Appropriations means, you know, appropriating the money. So that is one of the most powerful positions you can have, being the appropriations chair, okay, in the Senate. Why would Susan Collins get a role like that? Somebody who's been against really everything President Trump stood for, against his cabinet picks. I think Susan Collins was against Kavanaugh, against the Supreme Court picks. I mean, could you have a more... could you have a more poorly judgmental, psycho, anti-Trump individual who's getting a higher post? I don't think it exists. Susan Collins is the equivalent of a Democrat. How is she a Republican? Name me one thing that's Republican about Susan Collins. Joe Manchin was more Republican than Susan Collins. So why would they put her in such a position like that? Why would they do that? Goes to show you, we're still fighting many, many difficult, entangled influences within our own party. Again, it's not going to be easy. Trump won. Again, we're all very happy. He's going to get his cabinet picks through, but it's not going to be easy. Trust me, you haven't seen anything yet of what these cycles try to do. It's coming. But Trump is sharpening his iron and getting ready to go. Yes, Frankie.
I just have a question, Mike, because I was looking into the whole thing with like Mitch McConnell. Like, what were the like the, who were the GOP senators that actually handed him like, you know, the power to derail everything and like and appoint these idiots? Like, what?
They do it in secret ballot. They do it in secret ballot. So they do it in secret ballot where like they're not, and again, such a messed up process. You should not be voting for the Senate leader on a secret ballot. The people deserve to know, the voters deserve to know who you voted for, period. So you do it on secret ballot, then she becomes head of the Appropriations Committee. Secret. It's all secret. They're doing it in secret. So simple. If you are proud of the work you're doing, it should all be public and transparent. If you're shameful and you know what you're doing is wrong, you keep it in secret. It's very obvious. Now, moving on to President Trump fighting back on many of these things. This was the story of the weekend, was that President Trump has pledged to ban the transgenders in the military within days of inauguration. They say he's already drafting plans to ban the transgenders from the military, to which I say this is phenomenal. This is how you win. You know why? Because a couple things going on right now. Democrats are trying to slow walk us to World War III. It's obvious. We're going to show you clips of that in a minute. They're trying to walk us into World War III with three different simultaneous wars occurring. Middle East, Far East, and Ukraine-Russia. Provocations especially amplified within the last 60 days. It's almost as if they want us in the war. And not only do they want us in the war, but they also want our military troops and force to be as weak and depleted as possible. Military recruitment right now is at an all-time low. And it's not a coincidence that that has coincided with LGBTQ poetry slam on the military bases. It's not a coincidence that's coincided with an empowerment of trannies in the military over the last decade. We went from don't ask, don't tell, to outward, in your face, ram it down your throat, sorry for pounding on the desk, DEI-fueled military training and time spent. You join the military, you do it to be a fighter, you do it to be a killer, you do it because you love this country and you bleed for the flag, you love it so much you're willing to die for it, man. Get a great education in the process. You learn great life skills. You build brotherhood. You build camaraderie. You're part of something bigger than yourself. That's why people have joined the military over the last number of decades. So coincidence that when Trump was at the helm from 2016, 2020, military recruitment went back to an all-time high. And then with Biden, it sunk to an all-time low. But there was a disproportionate amount of trainees who joined the military. Probably saying, oh, you know, that could be because of the inclusivity. No. We outlined on the show and we exposed on the show that there's a military base in Texas, right, Frankie?
Yeah.
It's in Texas. And what happens is when they join, if you join the military, they're literally TikToks of trannies in the military talking about this. I joined the military and then look at me, come with me on a day in the life. Yeah, because our troops should be totally TikToking, right? What type of bizarre world are we in when our troops are like, come with me for a day in the life of me going to Texas on the taxpayer dime to go to this facility in Southwest Texas where they're giving me puberty blockers and hormone changers paid for by you. And I'm documenting it on TikTok. And then I'm going to do the TikTok dance. Okay, I'm military time. And what's China seeing when they see that? They're seeing a sitting duck. What's Russia doing? And then they go, oh, we're going to give you nukes. Here you go. Nukes for Ukraine. More on that in a minute. Oh, but we have the trannies who are going to do it, who are going to fight back when we then get attacked on our soil. And the recruitment's at an all-time low. Not only are they the most trainees, there's 15,000 trainees in the military right now. 15,000. That's a very high per capita number. How do we arrive at 15,000 trainees in the military? Like, it is what we call a existential problem that is mutating and exacerbating and growing. And no one's wanted to address it, because if you do, you'd be anti-whatever. But Trump is on it. Yes, Frankie.
Well, a couple things there, Mike.
I know you've been dying to get in on this.
It's just,
yes.
We can go back to when Trump was our beautiful president, right? He put all this on the table. He was the one that pushed it, and he said, listen, it's never going to happen under my presidency. The whole reason was that people are going to exploit these loopholes and all of these LGBT nuts are going to just join the military so that our U.S. tax dollars will just fund all these operations for them. But on top of that, Mike, it's like you pointed out the whole TikTok general, all these videos coming out. It's like it begs a good question because like all these pilots, like I follow fighter pilots that have retired since, and they put up all these incredible, because you know when they're doing practices and they're doing combat. In these planes, they're allowed to bring their GoPros and they're allowed to film their combat. But all that stuff, before they can put it up on YouTube, they have to send it all to like the Navy, and it takes like 2 years for them to either approve or deny. And they usually deny most of the footage, even though there's no reason. It's like some practice in the middle of Afghanistan. But for some reason, that could give away a location that they may have been in that they shouldn't have been in. It's like there's so many rules to release footage while you're actually in service, but for these LGBT lunatics, they just get to do it daily. Like, put it up. Like, I'm vlogging. What is going on?
In real time. Yeah. So, like, you have people who are already mentally ill, and then they're posting in real time on TikTok. But then nothing is done against them, because if you do something against them, you'd be seen as anti-whatever. But it's not anti-whatever. It's not safe. It creates a double standard. It's a distraction. It leads to lower recruitment of people who want to actually do the job. It leads to wasted tax dollars. And it leads to less people to fight. Those people are going to go fight when we're on the World War III battlefield. It is so bad. So Trump's plan to do it, it's already starting to get met with like people starting to go crazy about it. No. Makes us more safe and it saves us money. I guarantee you, with PDX at the helm and things like this in place, our military recruitment will go back to an all-time high. I guarantee it. And it's not racism or sexism or anti-LGBTism or whatever. It's nothing. It's literally common sense. The military is not the incubator for your sex changes. I don't know how it got to that point, but it has, and that's wrong. It's not 15, it's 15,000. 15,000 transgenders?
Sounds like...
It's like a basketball arena. Like, it, yeah.
They should all be front line.
Madison Square Garden, New York Knicks. You feel...
Let's go back to like horses
like,
and muskets. Like,
think about that for a minute. So here's what I mean by it. Here's what I mean. This is the sickening dialogue that we see coming out. U.S. officials discuss giving nuclear weapons to Ukraine. According to the New York Times, U.S. and European officials have discussed a range of options they believe will deter Russia from taking any more Ukrainian territory, including providing Kiev with nuclear weapons. Now, we know that they're launching. I mean, this happened over the last couple of days. Even Joe Rogan was talking about it, that they're launching, like, you know, these new types of missiles within Russian territory. And these things, you could put a nuke on these missiles that they're launching into Russian territory. And Russia's basically saying this is essentially the start of World War III. Putin is saying that he's open to negotiating a peace deal with Trump. And then everyone's like, this guy's so crazy. Putin's literally Hitler. Trump is literally Hitler. I can't keep track. But neither one of them have kind of struck back. And the only person who's acting with reckless abandon is Zelensky, who's told what to do by the Obama-era State Department officials who still ring and hold a lot of weight in the deep state. It's bizarre. I gotta tell you guys, this Ukraine thing is really, really bizarre. The fact that Republicans still continue to say, I listen to Republicans talk, they say, oh, you know, it's unbelievable. Biden hasn't done enough for Ukraine. That's what some Republicans say. I know them, I'm not gonna name names, but they say it. This was Amaryllis Fox Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's daughter-in-law, was on Tucker Carlson's podcast. And this is some really good analysis of where we're at right now. And when everybody, when these Republicans tell you, well, you know, we don't want war and we don't this, look back to how they supported Ukraine at the beginning. So either they're stupid or they're in on it. Either they're changing course on their narrative because they're like, oh, you know, we were wrong, or because they wanted to funnel all that money to military industrial complex. And now they're like kind of doing the pullback to kind of save face with the public. Roll this clip.
So this is a tweet from me. I don't normally read people's tweets, but in standing with Ukraine, the Biden-Harris administration convinced them, Ukraine, to abandon a peace deal that would have ceded only half of the territory that Russia now occupies. And for that opportunity to lose twice as much of their homeland, they paid with tens of thousands of innocent lives. We did this to control the 11 trillion of minerals under the Donbas. We did it to grind down the Russian war machine on the grist of Ukrainian teenagers. We did it to hand out hundreds of billions of dollars to U.S. hedge funds who are, as we speak, carving up rights to Ukraine's fertile soil and vast mineral resources. The truth is, the United States has never stood with the people of Ukraine. That is simply a jingle, an ad campaign broadcast to those who have never been there, designed to sell taxpayers on the appeal of prolonging war for profit. We have cost Ukraine her territory. We have cost Ukraine her children. The war hawks and the bankers are no friends to Ukraine.
Whoa!
There you go. Tucker goes, whoa. Because it's so true. I mean, that you can't, I was thinking like, do I talk? You just can't sum it up better than that.
No.
And then you got people who are just anti-war people who just don't want World War III, like Tulsi Gabbard. And she talks about this situation. They call her a Russian asset, but what she talks about is just clear-cut common sense. And see how they like reverberate and everyone in unison then goes, Russian asset. Here's Tulsi Gabbard calling it to question the obvious, the problems that we're facing. They call her a Russian asset for talking about the truth. Roll it.
If you happen to challenge them, whether it be on COVID or it be on things like, and this was, I think this was the thing that caused Mitt Romney to call me a treasonous liar, was saying, hey, there are U.S. funded, DOD funded biolabs in Ukraine that should be secured because there's a war going on over there. And the last thing we or the world needs is anything going on in those biolabs being unleashed in a way that could pose a threat to people. That was seen as...
But I should just say, you weren't guessing.
No.
You got that. It was confirmed in any case in a public exchange in the Senate between Marco Rubio of Florida, the sitting yes. Republican senator, and Victoria Nuland, the Undersecretary of State, who volunteered it on camera.
Yes.
So,
and it was on the DOD website. Talking about their long history.
So, all right. So funding. They call her, so they call Tulsi a Russian asset because she points out the acknowledgement that the Department of Defense and that Victoria Nuland has acknowledged that you have these biolab weapons that are out there. And if you're in the middle of a war zone and the wrong, you know, the wrong missile hits the wrong thing, I thought you care about, you know, public health and safety. And yeah, so the same people who released the illegals into the country who are carrying diseases are the same ones who aren't caring about the bio labs. Interesting. And then you have people like this. OK, this is Tammy Duckworth, United States senator, who talks about Pete Hegseth. Again, we're talking about the resurgence of the military, the fact that the military has been so down and out because of the Alphabet Mafia agenda. Here is Duckworth talking about Pete Hegseth, saying that he's unqualified because of his common sense about men and women in physical combat. Roll it.
America's daughters are just as capable of defending liberty and freedom as her sons.
Having served in combat yourself, what do you think of the idea that women make fighting more complicated? That was specifically what he focused on.
Well, it just shows this lack of understanding of where our military is. You know, he was a pretty low-ranking guy in the military, and he never had a command position. He was a platoon leader, I think, once or twice, but he never even commanded a company. And so this is a man who is inordinately unqualified for the position. Remember that the Pentagon is 3 million servicemen and women and civilians. It is over $900 billion budget. He's never, you know, run anything anywhere near to that size. And frankly, women actually make our military more effective.
More effective.
Yeah.
Pregnant flight suits.
Yeah, the women make it more effective. So when you're on the, pregnant flight suits, when you're on the front lines and you have to carry 80 pounds of equipment on your back when you're getting shot at them.
And a fetus.
I think 99% of American women would agree that a man is more equipped to do that than a woman. But Pete Hegseth can't run anything. And him saying the obvious states that, no, I actually think that Pete Hegseth saying that and being the only guy to say that, and then also the Pentagon failing their audit every single year in the last number of decades, I think that goes to show, like maybe we should go a different direction. Maybe, just maybe. All right, what a joke, Frankie, what a joke. But changing, love what Trump's doing with the tranny ban. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. So much more. Do not go anywhere.
Unbelievable. What is going on?
Unbelievable, man. It's a wild Monday show. All right, guys. Want to tell you guys about our next sponsors of the broadcast here and our next sponsors of the show are our friends on over at OFP Farms. Guys, wake up and smell the OFP. I mean, this I got to tell you is that OFP Farms, as I was talking about.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Don't know. Hold on there, Mike.
Can you hear me?
We're back. I don't know what just happened. Had a total meltdown of my system.
Cool. All right. That's all right. So, wow. Okay. We're good. So anyway, OFP Farms, guys, as I was coming down, talking about going to my family's house for the holidays, my mom said, you better bring the OFP. You better bring the goods. I said, of course, everyone's talking about OFP, okay? If you want to smell good, if you want all natural ingredients, if you want the best of the best, soaps, lotions, lip balms, you name it, you need OFP. And this is what we call the original MAHA, the original Make America Healthy Again.
Oh, what is going on?
Ingredient.
Yeah, it's a new one, Mike.
All natural ingredient. This is crazy. All natural ingredients and products. So, guys, go to OFBFarms.com. Use promo code CRISPY for 30% off your order. Frankie, we appreciate you bearing with us through these technical glitches that we're having today. But this is what we call iron sharpens iron. We will become better for it. So, guys, OFBFarms.com, promo code CRISPY for 30% off your order. Make sure you go there and capitalize on that deal right now. Also, guys, make sure you head on over to Kleck45.com. Guys, Kleck45.com right now. And use promo code CRISPY for 20% off your order. Kleck45.com, promo code CRISPY for 20% off your order. Guys, listen, they have all the coins that commemorate President Trump's accomplishments over the last 9 years, this historic run, and you better believe they're going to have more gold, silver, copper coins to highlight the next 4 years in the 47th series. So, guys, real gold, real silver, real copper coins. As the value of gold, silver, copper are going up, you need to capitalize on the deal right now, because the value of these coins, the price of these coins has not changed, and you'll get 20% off with promo code CRISPY. So have a great collection of all your favorite moments from President Trump, and save 20% and get real gold, silver, over copper. What better place to go than collect45.com? Go there right now today, and it makes an amazing gift. And tomorrow we're going to announce a Thanksgiving giveaway. I was going to do it today, but because of our technical things, I'm going to withhold. Thanksgiving giveaway coming up tomorrow for the week, so you better be ready for it. Frankie, how are we doing?
We're doing great, Mike. We have our guest ready to rock. It's just when I bring him in, we got some sort of issues with our studio. It seems to be replacing you. So I'm trying not to replace you, Mike. I'm going to give it one more try. All right? Let's make sure we're good.
It's bizarre. You know what's crazy is that you don't touch a button.
Nothing.
You don't touch it. Like, you don't change anything.
No.
But then things change. It's quite unbelievable.
Beautiful system, usually.
I don't know what to make of it. But Frankie, we can – you know, you can do what you need to do. I could do chats if you want to, like, you know.
Well, the problem is you totally disappear. Your audio's gone, everything. Let me see. Moment of truth. 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're good. We got our boy in. Look at us.
All right, okay. Good job, Frankie. This is what we call live. So we go over live, baby. Frankie, working hard today, you know.
Let's make it happen.
Frankie, you know, he goes out all night. He's out till 5 o'clock in the morning. Comes in, he's ready to go fixing things. It's great. So, all right.
We
got great. Liberty 12754, Amanda Collins, Log 23, Natalie, Vintage Jula, we're live. We see you, but we got a lot of moving parts today. All right, let's get back into it, Frank.
We're going to get back into it.
How do you like J.D. Vance lately? I love J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is the best. All right, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Listen, Clintons, leave my studio alone, all right? All right. On in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome back to the show, buddy. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is November 25th, Thanksgiving week. And, you know, it's interesting because congressional midterms are obviously 2026, and people are talking about the House majority. People are talking about how many seats the Republican will hold in California. They're still counting ballots. But there are going to be some special elections that take place. Obviously, President Trump has made appointments into his cabinet and in key positions, and some of those people are going to be coming out of the Congress. Everyone obviously saw Elise Stefanik get named the UN ambassador, and her seat is now up for grabs. It's going to be a special election. And it's very important that when President Trump selects people into his administration out of the congressional seat, that we, one, hold on to the congressional seat, and two, replace that member of Congress with somebody who's going to be America first, supporting the Trump agenda, and just be all around, you know, a stalwart for the things that we want to see in government. So it's like kind of a third rail of like where we're at right now. Everyone's talking about Trump. Everyone's talking about the cabinet, the majority. But what about filling these seats in the special election? My good friend, Anthony Costantino, he has announced that he's running for Elise Stefanik's seat. You might know who he is. He made national headlines when he put the massive, okay, that could be seen as far as the eye could see, Vote Trump billboard and sign on top of his building. He's the CEO of Sticker Mule. He joins me right now. And he's a Paisan. You know we love Italians on this show. Anthony, good to see you, my friend. Congratulations for announcing your campaign. Now, again, people knew you from the Trump sign that you put on top of your building in Amsterdam, New York. But tell people why you're running, like what the process has been so far in the campaign, why you're the guy, and also why we need a little more Italians in government. I think everyone would agree with that. Go ahead, Anthony.
You know, what happened to all the Italians in government? We need more of you. But, you know, really, I've been involved ever since a bullet hit President Trump. I was a citizen, you know, CEO, working on the sidelines, built a 1,200-person company with people in 39 countries. I saw from the sidelines firsthand how ridiculous all the hatred towards the Trump movement was, hatred towards Trump and his supporters was. And when a bullet hit him, I spoke up immediately. I sent an email to my 5 million customers. That went viral. That was really my biggest news cycle. It was even bigger than the sign because that went crazy on social media, and it was in Wall Street Journal and everything else then too. So really, ever since that moment, I said, I'm going to use all my creativity, all my energy to try to fix what I consider was a big problem, which was hatred towards Trump supporters, hatred towards President Trump. It was not based in reality. It was based in hoaxes for a large part. And so I did everything I could to fix that. I said the best way you could fix it is for more people to stand up and admit they support him. I wanted to show you could be courageous and admit you support him. So I put a massive sign on top of my building. I got a front row seat to how bad the Democrat Party is. Right away, a Democrat mayor tried to throw me in jail over the sign. I got a really great lawyer to beat him. Yeah, it was an interesting experience, you know, but I beat him and everything went really well. And then next thing I know, my friend Elise Stefanik, who I actually went to high school with and I know is a great person, is a great pick for UN ambassador. She's a very bright person, and she'll fight hard for the United States of America and the United Nations. She got that pick. My phone started ringing like crazy. Really, for the last month or two, everyone's saying, you got to get into politics. I had no intention to do that. But she got in, and my phone started ringing like crazy. And if you know me, you know I run my life based on principles. I'm a principled person. One of my principles is use your time to do the most impactful things you can do while you're here on this earth. I tell people time is finite. Yeah. And I said, this is probably the most impactful thing I can do with my time will be to run for Congress. And at the same time, I've been supporting President Trump since 2016 because I want the best possible people in government. And I thought to myself, who's best for this position? Well, I think it's probably me. And so decided I'm going to run.
I would agree with that. And I would say, I mean, you know, I mean, people who don't know upstate New York, I mean, upstate New York has fallen on hard times because of leftist policies. And the fact that you've been able to build what you've built. And I mean, I even told our producer, Frankie, here, I sell Sticker Mule. Frankie's like, I know Sticker Mule. That's an upstate New York company in a Democrat environment, okay, where they've created policies that are strangling businesses and free markets. But you've been able to overcome it, start a business, employ over 1,000 people, and kind of make it up there for so many people. And I think when it comes to running for Congress, I think taking, you know, the whole like, you know, the Trump framework, businessman, a man who's created opportunities and knows how the liberal system works and has created jobs and started businesses and can overcome it. I think that's what we need more of. And I think that's obviously what you bring to the table. What about the other? I mean, tell the people the process, because people don't know how special elections work. And I've been even get asked questions about this. They go, well, how's it work? Like, who else wants it? Are there other elected people? Who decides that? When's the election? Tell the people and explain to a lot of New Yorkers, like, how this process works and the timeline and who wants to run and who picks the candidates and how you become the candidate and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'm learning very quickly. My number one principle is move quickly. And so I'm learning very quickly. I'm moving very quickly on this. And it's a special election. I got to get nominated by the party leaders. So I've already hit the ground running, talking to as many party leaders as I can. Some in person, some via phone. I'm going to try to meet them all in person as quickly as possible and hopefully get their support. But the county chairs in District 21 need to vote and select the nominee. And right now I'm hoping that's me. They seem very supportive thus far. I had a great conversation with Elise. She seems supportive. The county chairs thus far seem very supportive, but I'm going to try to meet them all and get their support. I also put $2.6 million in a campaign account already. I'll be self-funding my race. I don't want to be a drain on party resources. If anything, I want to grow party resources. And I think you'll like this. I picked $2.6 million because that's the appreciation and value of my Tesla stock, which I want to say thank you to Elon Musk. You know, I like to have evidence that I make good decisions. And so when Elon stepped in to restore free speech to the world, really, when he stepped in to restore free speech to the world by buying a terrible website called Twitter, everybody went nuts. The media went nuts. They did a big pile on and the Tesla stock got dumped very aggressively. And I knew they were all being dopey. And so I put a big bet down. Investment down on Tesla. I made $2.6 million very quickly thanks to Elon Musk. And so I want to give Elon Musk a little credit for my candidacy. I put $2.6 million in my account. thank you to his hard work.
Not bad, not bad. Now, let me ask you this, Anthony. In terms of, you know, platform, you know, other Republicans, I guess, will want the seat. You know, Elise has had it. I think the index there is an R plus eight. So, I mean, that's a seat that a lot of people want. What, like, policy-wise, position-wise, separate you when it comes to your platform from other people who are running in this race?
Sure. There's a few issues I understand better than anybody, but most of all, I operate my business by identifying big problems. I try to find the biggest problems that exist and solve the biggest problems I can solve. I correctly identified the biggest problem in this country was anti-Trump hate. I did everything I could to try to fix it. Eventually, we got a massive Trump landslide, so I think we could say that problem solved. You seem a little silly now to be a Trump hater, to be a hater of his supporters. You seem silly now that we're the obvious majority. So that problem seems silly. The biggest problem New York has is that people are leaving, and so I want to work hard to solve that problem. I don't think anyone's going to work harder than me to try to solve the problem of bringing people back to New York. People are the key to everything in New York. We need people back here. People create businesses. People buy things. People work in businesses and help them grow. And we need people coming back to New York. We've been losing people like crazy due to Democrat policies. There's a number of ways you're going to bring people back. One is we got to make the state more favorable for Republicans. Right now, Republicans are scared to live here. We've got to make that go away. I think I'm helping with that just by showing you can be a strong Republican voice in New York and not be scared of people like Letitia James. You just posted a picture of her, and I didn't realize what happened to her. She looks like she's not going in a good direction health-wise, but I don't know what's going on with her. But I didn't know how bad her situation was going, to be honest, until I saw that picture you just posted. But we need to show people you don't need to be scared of people like Letitia James and the other really bad Democrats in New York, like my mayor, that tried to lock me up and lost very badly. So that's a big issue. We need to cut taxes. We need to support President Trump. I'm a believer that, you know, I'm used to being a CEO. I'm used to being in charge. But I think you need to be a subordinate to the commander in chief. I think we have a great commander in chief right now. He's a great decision maker. He's proven himself to be the best decision maker in the United States of America. And so probably the best decision maker in the world. So I'm going to support him across the board and everything he wants to do. I believe in trusting the chain of command, and he's the head of the country. And so I'm going to support Trump more aggressively than anyone can, than I think anyone else will support President Trump as well. I'm a big believer in supporting supporting leadership. And you know, that's how I operate my company. That's how I think we're going to operate the state, the United States.
I like it. I like it. Guys, Anthony Costino, do you have a a campaign website or people where people can go learn more, go check out your stuff?
We're going to be spinning it up very soon. Vote for Anthony. .com. It's with the number four, with the word four, however you want to do it. We're going to have both very soon. But right now, just check me out on a company, a website called X. It used to be called Jack Dorsey's Twitter, but Jack's not a good guy. You know, one of the things I'd love to do once I get into Congress is look into a guy named Jack Dorsey. I think he's a terrible person that deserves a little bit more investigation. He did some horrible things for the United States of America when he was in charge of a terrible website called Twitter. It's a better website now called X. So I'm AC132 on X. Check me out there.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Anthony Costino running for Congress. And again, these are the type of people we need, business leaders, not some paper pusher, state legislator, local swamp person. We need the business leaders to support the best business leader of all who got into politics, shook it up once, about to shake it up again, Donald J. Trump. Thank you, sir, for coming on. We're going to keep up with your race and have you on a lot from now until victory, all right?
Thank you. Thank you for all the support, Mike, and thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it, guys. It's Anthony Costino. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Do not go anywhere.
Let's go. Love it.
All right.
Get him Let's in go. There.
Frankie overcoming. Frankie, I cannot believe
I've never seen that. You had to overcome in the last couple of
I've never seen that either. I mean, guys, Frankie's on this game here. I mean, show the studio. Show them, Frankie. Show the people what you work with every day. Look at that. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot going on. So Frankie, we appreciate Frankie quick in real time there fixing that. So thank you very much to Frankie. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
I was nervous.
So guys, make sure you go to OFP. Make sure you guys use promo code Crispy. Make sure you guys also collect45.com, promo code Crispy. Because we kind of were sidetracked with the ads in the last segment because of the, you know, the technical glitches. But also, one last announcement. Make sure that everybody likes and shares and subscribes. We'll do iTarget tomorrow. But likes and shares and subscribes. And also, Make sure you guys are following. If you want to become a super fan, you go to rumble.com/crispy and you can get all the shows every day, just full-fledged, you know, crispy and Frankieism right there. So make sure you guys are also subscribed to rumble.com/crispy. And Frankie and I got big things we're working on. The studio, the production, LFA TV. We're going to be going to Turning Point USA. It's going to be great. So, and we're going to be helping in some congressional races. You can see Anthony Constantino. That's the kind of guy we need. Italian, business owner, supports Trump, knows how to make good financial decisions. I mean, there's your guy right there. You know, you want some limp legislator who votes yay or nay based on what somebody tells them? Come on. No, we need people like that. And we need more Italian representation, obviously. Okay, let's go, Frankie. Let's roll back into it.
We're going to roll back into it. Mike on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, we mentioned this in the show a couple minutes ago, but we need to bring this up because it really is one of the most ridiculous things you probably have seen that is not getting talked about. Obviously, President Trump won the election, and we're happy that he did, and that obviously has been a joyous moment for us all. And we say, listen, the system holds up. You can make it, as we would say during the election, too big to rig. We repeated that phrase a lot. Some say that I was the first person to say it at Wildwood, New Jersey, too big to rig. One of the first people, for sure. I think Trump might have said it first. I might have said it second. But this is what's going on with the House races here, still going on in liberal states where they rig elections. Nancy Pelosi's daughter brags about curing ballots in California as two Democrat candidates pull ahead to unseat GOP incumbents nearly 3 weeks after Election Day. You tell me if that is a kosher headline to you. You're saying that in the Trump revolution, in the Trump clean sweep, where you got more popular votes, more votes than any candidate ever. Again, the Biden 81 million didn't count. More votes than ever. That two Democrats in the disgrace state of California overtook incumbent Republicans in the second week of ballot counting. And that people like Nancy Pelosi's daughter are curing those ballots. Nothing to see there, right? It's what we call a broken system. But I'm telling you something, we made it too big to rig for the president, and President Trump has pledged that, he said, as soon as he won, he said, I'm going to get these election laws fixed. If that's one part of his legacy that he does, if he just does just that, close the border, unlock energy independence, generation, and world peace, he already is the greatest president in U.S. history next to George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. He already is, but that will solidify it. There you go. What a scam. California. All right, guys, that's about all the time that we have on the program. You guys know we do this broadcast. We keep it America first. We keep it full. We always keep it unafraid. You better believe we're just getting started. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you back live tomorrow.